Be'ez Hashem Yisbuch, we begin Paragasiri, the 10th and final chapter in the Rambam's Hilchos Klei HaMikdash and the laws of the vessels and the Beis HaMikdash, Bo'ivnimbo, and those who do the service with it in the Sefer HaVoidah, which continue on the theme of the previous parakim discussing the garments of the Kohanim. Here the Rambam discusses regarding the appropriate way and the actual wearing of the garments. As Rambam begins Halachah regarding the order of first putting on the garments, Ketzad Seid Levishas Begadim, how is the order of the clothing of getting dressed with the kind of garments? So, Levish HaMechnasayim Techila. First, they put on their trousers, the Chogre as HaMechnasayim, Lamala Mitaburi, and they belt they fasten the pants above the navel area, Me'al Masnav, above the loins, basically by the on top of where pants are generally closed, V'achach Levish HaKutaynis, and then they put on the tunic, like the shirt, and then they belt the gartel, the belt, which is opposite the area where a person's elbows are, and they go around, wrapping on top of wrapping, until he finishes wrapping, and then he knots it, then he ties it. Now, halacha beis, regarding this avnit, regarding the avnit, it's explicit in Tanakh, in Sefer Yechezkel, in the Navi, that it should not be belted by yaza. What does that mean? That's the word yaza. In a place where a person sweats, a person should not, let's say, put it around by his underarms, where that's where he sweats. And v'kach kibu yonis ben nizil, b'pihan nevim. So too, the tradition was that yonis ben nizil, he received this from the prophets, v'tikim, where he translates the words, alavei in yisrin. They should tie it by their hearts, meaning lower down, but more by the mid-chest part. And then, after those three garments, which we had mentioned in the previous previous halacha, which was just qualified that of the belt, where it's done by the area of the elbows, the achkach tzevet tzeinif b'mitznefes, and then he puts on this mitznefes like a hat, and that's the fourth of the garments. Now, halacha gimel, continuing on to the Kohen Gadol, he has more garments. So Kohen Gadol, the high priest, after he wraps himself in his belt, so levish me'il, he puts on the cloak, and on the me'il, on top of that, is ha'efed v'ha'cheshen, which is this apron-like efed, and this cheshen, which is this breastplate. And v'cheger b'chesh v'efed. And he fastens himself with the strap of the efed, ala me'il, on the me'il, mitakas v'cheshen, which is beneath the cheshen, because the efed's on the me'il and the cheshen is on the efed. Well, if you can nikra me'il v'efed, that's why actually it's called the me'il of the ephod, because shechegre be'ephod, because you actually strap it into the strap it on the ephod, and the achakach tzeinif hametznefes, and then he goes and he straps it on, he puts on his hat, the kosher tzitz lamalam hametznefes, and because as we said after the avnet, which is the third of the four, he doesn't then do the hat, rather he does all these garments first, and then he puts on his hat, and then the eighth one, the kushat sits lamalam and its nefes. Then he ties on this the forehead plate on top of the hat, which that's actually only from the back, where there he would knot on the tzitz on top of the hat, but actually in front the mitznefes was actually higher up than where the tzitz was. Usaaray hayinir ben tzitz mitznefes, and actually that for in the front it was actually here his here on his forehead was actually between the tzitz and his hat. And that's where the Kohen Gadol would wear the tefillin shereish, between that forehead plate and his hat. Now, the Rambam continues and tells us that mitzvah saseh, there's a positive commandment, lasses because we're able to make these garments, and that the priest should go ahead and serve with them. Shemaka says in the positive commandment, but big dekai, you should make the holy garments. And as it says over there in the next parak, and that the sons should do the avodah, and they should be wearing these tunics. Now, actually, it's such an obligation of wearing that it has to be exactly as it's prescribed. So therefore, so if you have a Kohen Gadol that does the avodah with less than these eight garments, or a Kohen Hedyud, or a regular Kohen, where he does the avodah with less than these four garments, that's what's called, that he's lacking garments, and his service is therefore invalid, and the Shemaim is liable for death at the hands of heaven, like a non-Kohen that does the avodah. Kishnem, the Pasuk says, it talks about you girdling them with the belt, etc., wearing the kind of garments, and it says, they can have the kuna, which teaches us Kunas Bizman Shabigdem Alayim, when their garments are on them, then Kunas Malayim, then their priesthood is on them. But Ein Bigdem Alayim, if they're not wearing their Kohen garments, Ein Kunas Malayim, they don't have the Kohuna, Elarim Kizar, they're like a non-Kohen, like a foreigner. But then it says, and the foreigner who comes close to do that bite is going to die, and that's the Kohen with Mechus Begadim, he doesn't have all the garments, he's like a Zar, and therefore it's Chayiv Misa. Now, just like if he's lacking garments, he's liable for death, and he invalidates the service. So he has too many garments. Let's say he wears two tunics, or two belts. Or let's say a regular kohen wears the garments of the kohen gadol, and he does the avodah. He's desecrating the service. He's liable for death at the hands of heaven. Now, Ketu on this halacha, halacha vav, that has to be actually only the kohana garments, not less, not more. It's also even in the garments themselves. As Rambam tells us, nema bebig dekunam, it was said regarding the kohana garments, it says in the pasuk, al besar levashim, on their flesh, they shall wear the kohana garments, which Malama just comes to teach us, the halacha that we're discussing over here, shli yedav chitzitz ben besar lebegadim, the halacha of chatzitz, there shouldn't be anything in between his flesh and the garments. I feel like Nima Ach is even one thread, I offer or some dirt, a kina mesa or a dead louse. In Moitza ben Basla Begad, if it was between his skin and the garment, here's a chatzitza. It's an interposition, vavadasim sula, and it's invalid avodah because he's not wearing the kind of garments as it's supposed to be. The figure therefore, ain hakoin yochel lavad betfilin shayat. So the kohen cannot do that, but why he's wearing his tefillin on his arm, shechatzitza, because that's interposing between him and his garments. Avash harayshin chatzitza, but tefillin harayshin is not a chatzitza. And therefore, if he wants to wear it, put it on when he's wearing the avodah, but he put it on because it's not getting in the way between his forehead, where he has his hair, and any crown of garments. Now, halacha zayin, so therefore, v'tzach lezar, b'shash lebesh, a person has to be careful when he's wearing the crown of garments, shleiya avik, they should be careful, there shouldn't even be some dust between his garments and his flesh. V'leikina, and not a louse, of which lice, av b'shabachab, even though it's alive. And there shouldn't even be some wind that comes in when he's doing the avodah between his flesh and his garment. The wind is going to pull his garment off of him. So he shouldn't stick his hand underneath his shirt onto his bosom, where then his hand is in between. He shouldn't even have his hair coming out of his garment because that's an extension of his body and that's not having the garment go on them. So to believe a beggar, there shouldn't be in the garment nima mudul delis. You shouldn't even have a hanging thread, which is partly attached, partly not. Now, but vimhoyisham echem kolayla, but regarding all those that we said in this halacha, if it was one of these things, avodasik share, then avodah is kosher, because it's not as a full-fledged chatzitza as we had in those in the previous halacha, but one should be careful in these things too. Halacha ches, karach al-basare, let's say he wraps on his skin, beggar a garment, shaloi b'makam gadim, not where one of the kind of garments are. Let's say he wraps a piece of fabric around his finger, or a cable around his heel, which they didn't wear shoes. No, if it's three finger breadth square, so even though it's not where a garment is, that would be considered as a chatzitza, as an interposition between him and the elements, and it's going to be invalidation. Pachis mekan, less than that, in the chaitz, it's not going to be chatzitza because it's not getting in the way, it's not where his garment is, and it's not considered a significant item to be considered as something that's in the way, that's not the kohen himself. Now, the mehoyet silsel katan, but if it was a small belt, since it is considered significant as a garment, even just by its own entity, it would invalidate. And even though it's not 3x3 finger breadth, 3x3 gives it a significance. This is significant because it's an actual article of clothing, even though it's smaller. So that would be a problem about chatzitza. It would be considered as something that would be extraneous to the kohen and would be a problem. Lachatas, now related, kohen shalakabetz boy. For kohen has a wound on his finger. Mutu lichachala gemi b'shabbos. He allowed a wrap on it, a reed on Shabbos, although that's therapeutic and medicinal intervention is forbidden on Shabbos, that's rabbinic, and in basic English they weren't geyser. Or he could also wrap around it a garment that's not 3x3, well, like we said, so that's not a problem about a chatzitza, about like yitr begadim, but they could do that avodah. Now, but if his intention is to squeeze it so that it lets out the blood, where he's pressing the reed very tight in it, that would be forbidden, because first of all, it's not necessary for the avodah, and second of all, that's doing a chavala, which is forbidden to inflict a wound by extracting blood. Now, but again, this is all important, it's only as long as the reed is not getting in the way, interposing. Oy habeged, or the garment, whatever it is that he's using, b'mesari l'kli b'shas avayda, between his flesh and, let's say, the vessel he's using during the avayda, because that would then be a problem b'chatzitza. Halacha yud, secondary to this idea that we're talking about that you cannot be lacking in the Quranic garments or else you're like a czar. So, says the Rama, also b'vayit sheni, they made in the second base of Migdash, urim v'tumim, which is an integral part of the chayshin, k'dei l'hashem shemayit v'gadim, so that it should be a complete, intact eight garments for the kohen gadol to wear, because the chiddush in that is of av bishlohayin neshamad. The point of the urim v'tumim would be that they would ask or make a request from Hashem through this urim v'tumim, which according to some is God's name. It was different, but it's part of what was in the chayshin, which its purpose was to ask Hashem. They wouldn't ask. So nima lohayin neshamad. So why didn't they ask it in the second base of Middash? Because there was no divine spirit. Any person that cannot speak in divine spirit, and therefore the Shechina does not rest on such a person, they don't ask him, and therefore no one was on that level. So really there was no utility of the Urim V'Tumim, but they had it simply because it was an integral part of the Chayshin, and it had to have the eight Quranic garments, which that Chayshin is one of them. Now, once we're discussing that they have the Urim V'Tumim, and its purpose was to ask these questions, like in the first place of Mikdash, so the case of Shalom, so how did they ask? So Amir HaKohen, the Kohen would stand, the fun of Lefnei Ha'aron. His face was in front of the ark, the Hashayil Ma'achrav, and the one who was asking him a question was behind him. And Panav L'Achre HaKohen, that person, the questioner's face was to the Kohen's back. Lo'im HaShayil, and the one who was making the was asking the question, he said, E'ele oi lo e'ele, should I go up or should I not go up? Should I fight this war? Should I not fight this war? He wouldn't ask in a loud, elevated voice, but neither would he just think in his heart. Rather, someone in the middle, he would talk in a low voice, like the way a person davens between him and himself. Immediately, the divine spirit would clothe itself on the kohen. He would look on the kohen. He would see in it as if in a prophetic vision, and he would see the words Ayin Lamed Hey to go up, or Loi Tala, which would be Bo'asius, would be in the letters, Shabbaltis Menachesh and Kenegan Panam, would be from the letters which were all inscribed from the names of the Shvatim and other words that were there on the breastplate, that would protrude from the Cheshin facing the Kain, who would see this in the prophetic vision, these letters coming out. And then the Kain would respond and tell the questioner, Alei or Loi Tala, he would tell him one of those, whatever the answer was, to go up or not to go up. You don't make a request regarding two things at the same time. The person asked two things. He's only responded to regarding the first thing he asked. And so, you don't have a question to respond to a regular person. Rather, the one who could ask such a question is either the king, or the bezdin, or to the courts, or someone that the public needs him. Like it says in the Pasuk Mamidbar, says when Hashem was saying about the mitzvah of the Urim V'Tumim, and then in front of Allah, the Kohen will stand, etc. Which, what does the Pasuk say there in Bamidbar? Who's him? Zamech refers to the king because it was said in reference to Yeshua, who he was the leader, who that's the reference of the king. And all the Jewish people, Zeh Meshuch Mecham, that refers to the one who is anointed for the war to be in charge, that all the Jewish people go out with him to fight the war. Or someone that the Tzibah needs him with his question. And that's therefore considered b'chol b'nei Yisrael. And when the pasuk says b'chol eidah in all the assembly, ila bez nagol, that refers to the great court, that they're considered the eina eidah, they're the eidah, only they have the liberty of asking such questions to the Urim V'Tumim. Now halacha yud gimel, the Rambam just concludes this that we were speaking about, which related to this idea of Ruach HaKodesh that we're discussing now, and also regarding what were the Kohanic garments. So zeshat demayitze b'dim v'navim, this that you find by the words of the prophets, referring to pasuk and Shmuel Aleph, that the priests would actually girdle themselves with an apron, an ephod of linen, a bad. So that wasn't the Kohen Gadol, who he was the one who wore an ephod. Because the ephod that the Kohen Gadol wore was not just an ephod made out of linen, as we spoke on the previous parak. Because the truth is, even Levim would girdle themselves with these ephods. Shmuel the prophet, Levi Haya, he was a Levi. But then regarding him, the post says Shmuel Aleph, Nar Chogur Eifed Bud. The youth was girdled with an Eifed, an apron of Bud, of linen. So, says the Ram, Ela Eifed Zer, rather, this Eifed that's referring to, that was the students of the prophets that they girdled themselves with this Eifed. Omisha Ruah should teach your love, Ruach HaKadosh, and someone who is fit, that the divine presence should rest on him. Idea, they were the one who wore the Eifed. To let it be known, Ki Giazil Amalis Kango, that this person reached to the level of the high priest, who he wears an Eifed. Shemedaba al piho eifed v'alchishim ruach hakodesh, like we just mentioned before. That's why it's a contingent of the previous halachas, who he speaks through the medium of the eifed and the chayshin with the ruach hakodesh. And this person is also like that, and therefore he also wore a different type of eifed to illustrate that level. Sliklu hilchas klei mikzvah siyata shemaya. We have concluded the laws of the vessels of the mesa mikzvah with siyata d'shemaya.